Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our service this morning. And we're going to have a great time today. I encourage you to take a deep breath before we move into this one. If you've been with us the last few weeks, we're going to talk today about something really, really cool. So welcome to our service this morning. I realize that you're probably watching, maybe you're on your couch, maybe you're still in bed, shame on you if that's the case, but why not, you know. But stand with me. There's a tradition in the Bible. People stand for the reading of God's Word because it's God's words, and then you sit down when mere mortals speak. But here's the ancient scripture, and this morning we're going to be in 1 Thessalonians. We're going to be reading 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4 and as well as 5. So the church at Thessalonica had questions about the last days. And they wrote the Apostle Paul their questions. I think we all have questions. Paul wrote to the church in Thessalonica, it's in Greece. And this is what he has to say in response to their questions. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be informed about those who sleep in death, so you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not see those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. It makes you smile, right? Chapter 5. Now, brothers and sisters, about the times and the dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night, while people are saying peace and safety. Destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You're all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake. Let us be awake. Let us be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith, putting on faith, putting on love. That's the breastplate and the hope of salvation. It's a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath. Did you hear that? But to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we're awake or asleep, we may live together with Him. Listen. Encourage one another and build each other up. Just in fact, you're doing. Because all this, people, is true, and it's coming. Father, we come before you this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We gather on a Sunday in a global community. People on a spiritual journey to meet and to know and to follow Jesus. We recognize, Jesus, that you are the rabbi, you're the teacher, and the classroom of life, you're the one that speaks into our lives on every journey that we are on. We ask, God, that you would open our eyes this morning that we might see mysteries. I pray, Lord God, that you would touch our ears, that we would hear your voice today, that we would understand the heart of God, and that, Lord, we would be encouraged today. We pray this for your glory in Jesus' mighty name, and all those that love the Lord would say amen, and you all may be seated. And Jamie Belize, if you're watching today, we just wanted you to know that we're celebrating your birthday this week. I believe it's July the 28th on Tuesday. Jamie Belize is going to be turning 90. Jamie, if you were here today, we'd be singing to you. We want you to know that we're thinking of you, and congratulations, my sister. You're a beautiful sister in Christ who has such a heart for God. You're a wise servant of the Most High, and when you speak, you're just seasoned with truth and wisdom, and we love you, and I wish we could be with you today, but happy birthday, Jamie Belize. Jamie Belize, our sister. I have a question for you this morning. Could you use some encouragement this morning? Could you use some hope this morning? We all know that we're living in the midst of history. We're living in the midst of a pandemic, a worldwide pandemic. And as we speak this morning, the numbers are spiking here in California. We recognize that the economy of the world is being challenged because of this lockdown. We recognize that there's social unrest in our country, and we also realize that it's 100 days until an election here in America, and as in all elections, divisiveness. Many things going on. If we turn on the news, it's hard to find something to be encouraged about. By the way, that's why we're gathering tonight. It's really cool tonight, 7:30 to 8:30 out in the courtyard. We're just going to be doing an acoustic set of worship. We're going to be praising God in the outdoors. Bring your mask, bring a chair, and we'll just gather together. We're going to praise God in community outside, and we're going to be praying over the things that we speak, I just spoke of. There's much to be praying for in this country. Let me say something this morning. For those of us that are followers of Jesus, we're not asleep to what is happening in the world. We're not unaware of the prophecies that describe what the world will look like right before Jesus returns. We know that right before Jesus returns that the nation of Israel will be reborn. Ezekiel 37, it's a biggie. We know that right before Jesus returns, he says the world will be a mess. The world is not going to be getting better, it gets worse. Is the world getting worse? We know that right before Jesus returns that the gospel will be preached to the whole world. And it is. We know right before Jesus returns that mankind's going to be abusing the earth and will be guilty of destroying the earth in many ways right before he returns. Is that happening today? We realize that right before the second coming of Jesus, there'll be an increase of information, an increase of knowledge. We are living in a day of the information age, prophesied in the book of Daniel, chapter 12, verses 1 through 4, 2,500 years ago. And this will all be setting the stage for Christ. And Jesus says that in the last days, before his return, there'll be an increase of plagues, of pestilence. And when you look into the Greek, what does those words mean? It means that contagious diseases will increase. All before the coming of Christ. This is the sermon of the last few weeks. And my brother or sister, I could have went on. There's so much more. You know, it says in the book of Revelation, chapter 9, verses 16, that in the time before Jesus returns, that an army is going to come from the east, coming toward Israel, of 200 million people. When John the Apostle wrote the book of Revelations, there wasn't 200 million people in the whole Roman Empire. I'm sure people looked at John thinking the guy was nuts. The day that we live in today, is there an army that could come from the east of Israel of 200 million? There is. In 2 Peter chapter 3, we read that in the last days before the coming of Jesus, there'll be an increase of atheism in the world. Is it happening? It is. All these things are supposed to be on earth before the second coming of Jesus. The point is, my brothers and my sisters this morning, is that the Scripture said all this would happen before the second coming of Jesus, and all of it is happening today in our times. The intensity of these things are happening with more intensity, like birth pains. Turn on the news. What do you see? Are you ready to meet Jesus? You should be. you could meet him today. In my understanding of Scripture, there's nothing prophetically that still needs to happen that hasn't already happened for his return. The third temple could be built during the tribulation period. I'll talk about that. But I want people, I want you to know at this point, prophetically, I believe it's sheer patience that the Lord hasn't come back yet. As Peter says, people were asking Peter in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, why hasn't he come back yet? He says, the reason why Jesus hasn't returned is because he doesn't want anybody to perish and all to come to repentance. And that was 2,000 years ago. God is patient with you. He's patient with me. For God so loves the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The heart of God is for you and for me to come to Christ. And I believe today, this day, the only thing that's holding back the coming of Christ is the patience of God, the longing of God for people to come. If you're here watching this message, I beg you to accept Christ, because the day is coming when he will judge this earth. And when he comes, those that have not accepted what he's done on the cross for their sins will be judged on their own merits and behaviors. For every person that denies Christ in the blood of Jesus and says, I don't need that, I'm a good person, how good do you have to be to go to heaven? Jesus says, be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Are you perfect? Are you morally perfect? You have to understand that God is holy. And God, for those of us to be in God's presence outside of Christ would contaminate God. We would defile his presence, his holiness. The only way God can be with you is through Christ. Jesus dies for all your sins and wraps us in robes of righteousness. For those of us to laugh at Christ, to reject Christ, to intellectually ponder it and push him aside, Jesus says, you're either for me or against me. You either accept my gift or you don't. And when you stand on your own, you'll be judged on your own. And you will be found wanting. And you will not be in the presence of God. And this is serious to God. God loves you. And that's why God is waiting. He's patient, not wanting anyone to perish, all to come to repentance. See, we're living in serious days. The cross is serious. The days we're living in is serious. And they're going to get a lot more serious. There are two types of prophecies happening in the Bible. When Jesus first came, he fulfilled Scripture. The Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. He'd be raised in Nazareth. His ministry would start along the Sea of Galilee. He would go to Jerusalem and die on a cross. The prophecies, and he will arise from the dead. He's done all this. Prophecies in his first coming. The Bible says that right before he comes again, the nation of Israel will be reborn. The world will be an absolute mess when he comes. The gospel will be preached throughout the whole world, it is. We'll be living in an age of information. There'll be an increase of atheism. There'll be plagues on the earth. The earth will be destroyed, is being hurt by man. All these things, there's prophecies that have been fulfilled, prophecies that are going to be fulfilled. There's only two types of prophecy, fulfilled and going to be fulfilled. We are living in the days of fulfilled prophecy. Pastor Frank, what's left? What's coming? I understand the Scriptures of Jesus fulfilling those. And today, if you've watched the last few weeks, you've heard the Scriptures being taught, prophecies being fulfilled in your time and in mine. Be alert, be sober. Don't let this sneak up on you, my brother and sister. Pastor Frank, what's next? What's next on the prophetic calendar? Do you like puzzles? Today I want to teach about things that are going to take place. And there's mystery in this discussion. Do you like puzzles? Puzzles are kind of fun. If you buy a puzzle, by the way, have you noticed that puzzles are all sold out? People are buying puzzles a lot in this pandemic. But when you buy a puzzle, you can see the picture. This is what it's supposed to look like. And then when you open the box, there's pieces together and you got to figure it out. And the scriptures tell us this is what the world's going to look like when Christ returns. The scriptures say this is what the world's going to look like and when Christ comes back and how he comes back and when he comes back. And yet there's all these pieces all scattered throughout the scriptures. And when I approach this topic, I see it as a mystery, a mystery. The pieces of the puzzle being put together. It's interesting, when we talk about this, 2,000 years ago on a Tuesday, Jesus says the temple is going to be destroyed and the nation of Israel is going to be scattered throughout the four corners of the earth. And it says his disciples, when they went to the Mount of Olives, he said, when's this going to happen? And the cool thing is, in Matthew 24, he answered their questions. He told them, this is what's going to happen before I come again. It's the messages of the last few weeks. I love that when you ask Jesus a question, and he answers it for you. Isn't that cool? It's interesting, if you compare Matthew 24 with Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus went and died on a cross. He arose from the dead. And now the disciples are with him and they're looking at the glorified Jesus. And I just want to read this because I think it's so cool. In Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 11, it says, and then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? They're asking more about the prophecies of the last days, thinking it would be today. And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, and by the way, the end of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. Can you imagine that day? He flew. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who's been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way as you've seen him go into heaven. See, all throughout the New Testament, the disciples were struggling with Jesus. They were constantly confused on his mission. They thought of him as a conquering king of Psalm 2, and Isaiah 53, a suffering servant. But now they get it. Now they get it. And now they say, now you're going to restore the kingdom? He says, I'm not going to tell you. It's not for you to know. Matthew 24, what will be the signs of your kingdom? He answered them. And now in Acts 1, they say, now you're going to set up your kingdom? I'm not going to tell you. It's a secret. I'm not going to reveal to you everything. You just go be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and to the ends of the earth. Go. I love this, people. There are times when Jesus answers our questions and sometimes Jesus says, it's a secret. The mystery. You put the pieces of the puzzle together. You do it. He's not going to spell it out for us. We need to study. We need to pray. Though there has been much discussion about the second coming of Christ, and there is much discussion about the second coming of Christ, many of the puzzle pieces have been put together. This morning I want to show you a chart that was part of my final that I had to take in a class at Biola University when I was a student there. The class that I took was called The Church in Last Days. Can you imagine, for a whole semester as a student at Biola, I took a class with Dr. Roberts called Church in Last Days. And we studied all the different thoughts of the second coming of Christ. For the whole semester, we looked at different thoughts and so forth. And yet at the end of the class, a part of the final is we had to, there was a chart that was put out, and we were in our job, we had to fill it out in great detail, as a matter of fact. And I want to shoot up this chart for you. By the way, if you've been emailed, if you've been taking the notes and so forth, you know, I guess I should probably tell you one thing too. There's a note that you should take this morning. And the note is this. There is intentional divine mystery surrounding the second coming of Jesus. If you want to take notes with me this morning, I probably should have told you that. You want to talk about this? There is divine mystery in the coming of Christ, and God wants it that way. And Jesus didn't answer their questions. He says, I'm not going to tell you. There's mystery in this. Study it. We emailed you this week if you're the notes to this, and you can have fun looking at this. You're going to be in small groups this week. We encourage you to read through this and check this out. I want to walk through this with you this morning. I'm going to shoot up, and we're going to show you a chart. And here it is. Jesus comes, dies on a cross, 32 AD. What happened? Number one is in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit came. Click, click, click the next slide. There you go. So here's my final. You guys want to take this with me? We have, number one, Jesus dies, and then the Holy Spirit comes. And that number two is called the church age. When the Holy Spirit came in Acts chapter 2, the church was born. And we live in a very interesting age. We live in the church age, or the age of grace. It's beautiful that the age that you and I are living, we're living in the age of patience. God is, as the gospel is being preached, and this is the age that's been happening for 2,000 years, this dispensation of time that we're living in. And this is what we're living in today. And all through this church age, the gospel is being preached throughout the known world. But the Bible says that a time is coming, somewhere in the distant future, when the rapture of the church will be taken, ripped out of heaven. And this is our topic today. As we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, a time is coming, somewhere in the divine thought of God, when He says, I'm taking my church up, I'm removing them from planet Earth. And it's called the rapture of the church. And when we are raptured into heaven, it says that we will stand before a judgment seat. It's called the judgment seat of Christ. It's a place where Jesus will give rewards. You remember when Jesus says, blessed are you when people persecute you, insult you on account of me. Great is your reward in heaven. We understand that this judgment seat is it's the ultimate payday. It's when Jesus speaks into our lives and says, blessed is your reward. Blessed is your reward. The things we've done for Christ on the earth. There's rewards in heaven. It's a mystery. But as the church is raptured, we enter into a time, it's called the judgment seat of Christ. And then after that, it says there's going to be a big party in heaven. It's called the marriage of the Lamb, found in Revelation 19. A party in heaven. And while all this is going on for about a 7-year time frame, down on earth, it's called the Great Tribulation Period that Jesus spoke about in Matthew 24. A time of judgment on the earth like the days of Egypt. But people, it's going to be on a global scale. Jesus calls it the Great Tribulation. Daniel 9, 11 and 12 speaks about it. The book of Revelation from chapter 4 on describes in detail, in mysterious detail, all that will be taking place while the church has been raptured. The last book of the Bible speaks of what goes on earth during that time. And then the next thing, it says that Jesus will return to earth. The second coming of Christ, the battle of Armageddon. Jesus returns to the Mount of Olives. His foot splits the mountain in two. He enters Jerusalem again, no longer as a Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, but as the Lion, the King, who comes to rule on the earth. And then the next is the millennial reign of Christ, found in Revelation chapter 20. Jesus rules on this earth, fulfilling all the Old Testament prophecies of Messiah ruling on earth, on the throne of David. It's interesting, just this morning, I was smiling. I was thinking of Peter in Matthew 19, and Peter said to Jesus, he said, "You know, Jesus, we've left everything to follow you. What will there be there for us?" And Jesus says, "Truly I tell you, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or fathers or mothers or wife or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life." Peter was saying, during the millennial, Peter, the 12 apostles are going to rule over the 12 tribes of Israel. When does that happen? In the millennial reign of Christ. For those of us who've given up so much, you'll be paid 100 times its fold. Sound like a good investment? Imagine Jesus ruling on earth. Oh, glorious days. And then after that, there'll be what's called a great white judgment throne. People like Adolf Hitler, it says that every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he's the Lord. When will this take place? At the great white judgment throne. Hitler will be brought before God and judged. And it says then he will die again, a second death. A second death. There's an old saying, born once, die twice. The second death after judgment. There's this physical death and a spiritual judgment. But there's a saying that says, if you're born twice, you'll only die once. You're born of the flesh and born of the spirit, born again, you're only going to die one time. And for a very select few, you're not even going to die. In the rapture generation, we'll talk about that. Sounds kind of cool, doesn't it? And then imagine at the very end, it says that God will create a new heaven and a new earth. How's that? When you look at this chart, how's that for looking into the mystery or putting the puzzle pieces together? What do you think? You like it? It's called the pre-millennial pre-trib chart. And it's a good stab at the mystery. It's a good shot at putting all the pieces together in the puzzle. It's the one that Pastor Frank holds onto. It makes sense to me. But I'm not dogmatic about it. It's funny, this week the pastors, we all get together and we talk about the message. And we all were talking about our thoughts and views. And I remember looking at each pastor at our church. What do you believe about the last days and why? And it's kind of cool. Pastor David, I told you, I'd quote you. He says, "I hold this loosely to my chest." That's good. "Is there other opinions? Yes. But in all the opinions, the bookends are the same. The church age and the coming of Christ. But there's discussion in the middle and the different pieces that goes on and how it all unfolds. And there's different thoughts on this, great discussions on this. This is the one that I hold to." It was fun taking a whole semester and studying all of them and looking at all of them. There's mystery to it, but it's fun to try to put the puzzle together. "Pastor Frank, I see the prophecies being fulfilled. What's coming next?" The rapture. The rapture of the church. Taking notes with me this morning, write this down. The next event on the prophetic calendar is the rapture of the church. Taken out before a time of judgment on the earth. A baptism of fire, as Jesus says, "I come to baptize the world with the Holy Spirit and with fire." What does God do with evil? He either transforms evil or he destroys evil or terminates it. He judges it. We're either baptized in the Spirit or we're going to be dipped and baptized in the judgment of God. And once again, the only thing that's keeping God back is his patience, not wanting you to perish, all to come to repentance. But a time is coming where God says, "I've had enough on earth." It's coming. Judgment of the earth. And what does God do? When God judges the earth, he saves the righteous. With Noah, he saves the righteous. with Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah. He saves the righteous. It says in the Scriptures before this judgment, Christ will come, that we're not destined for wrath. For the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise. Did you hear that? And after that, we who are still alive and are left, when Christ returns, the dead rise. And once they, for those of us that are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. The Latin word for caught up is the word rapire. Rapture, meaning to seize. The Greek word is harpazo. It means violent suddenness. It's used when the Apostle Paul was in the temple and the crowds were going to seize him. And it says the Roman soldiers yanked him out of there. It means to yank, to seize. Jesus spoke of this in Matthew 24. Two will be in the field. One will be yanked and one will be left. One will be taken, one will be left. This is the rapture. Christ coming for the church. Paul teaches more on this in 1 Corinthians 15. Verses 51 and 52. Listen, Paul says, listen, I want to tell you a mystery. Here's a piece in the puzzle. We will not all sleep. That means not, we will not all die. But we will all be changed in a flash. In the twinkling of an eye, at the trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable. And we will be changed. Amen. On that day, in the twinkling of an eye, we will be clothed with new resurrected bodies. We're going to get new models. One that will never die again. Immortal, imperishable, changed in an instant. How fast is the twinkling of an eye? Have you ever asked yourself, how fast is the twinkling of an eye? It's 300 to 400 milliseconds. A blink of an eye. A blink. It's less than half a second. Imagine sometime next week, you're living life, and all of a sudden you hear a sound of a trumpet from heaven. And in 300 to 400 milliseconds, in the blink of an eye, you are whisked, you are yanked into the presence of Jesus, and there you'll be with Him forever. Imagine that. Does that sound good to you? When you stop and ponder this teaching, are you encouraged? This week, as I've been studying this, I've been smiling a lot, thinking of this. And I've been struck, I've been thinking about this week. Listen to this. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a loud command. God raises His voice. With the voice of the archangel, hey. And with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. When we read in the book of Genesis, it says that God spoke everything into existence. It says in Genesis that there was nothing and God speaks everything into existence. God creates something from nothing. That's power. Think about it. It says that God spoke and the heavens existed. God spoke, and the galaxies were formed by the authority of His voice. It says, God spoke, and earth was formed, and life, and all that's in the earth today. That's awesome. God creates everything from nothing. He speaks it into existence. We read in John chapter 11, at the tomb of Lazarus, that Jesus spoke, "Lazarus, come forth." And a man who was dead for 3 days was given life. And I like, he had to say, "Lazarus." I think if he just said, "Come forth," all the dead would have come. "Lazarus, come forth." Spoke back to life, physically. In 1 Thessalonians, we read that a day is coming, sometime in the future, when Jesus comes for His church. That's you, that's me. And there will be a universal, authoritative, divine command of the Almighty God. And in an instant, all the dead in Christ will be resurrected. All the DNA, all the molecules, all the dust snapped to life. People, that's awesome. That's power. That's omnipotence. Physical resurrected bodies, just like the one Jesus had after His resurrection. Perfect. And I love the detail. The church at Corinth is like, "We got questions, Paul, about the second coming of Christ." Well, Uncle Joe died 3 weeks ago. And, what happens if Christ returns? And Paul says, "Let me tell you, He's going to go up first." And then Paul gives sequence of the mystery. First, all the dead in Christ will be spoken, brought to faith, brought in the presence of God. And then all those of you left and remain when the Lord comes, you're going to be ripped out of here, raptured. Can you imagine what that would feel like? There was a ride at Knott's Berry Fall called the Super Scream. I don't know if you got a chance. You sit in this thing, and all of a sudden it just yanks you straight up into the air, and it's with a lot of G-force. It's pretty cool. I have a cousin of mine who's a fighter pilot. He was a fighter pilot in Vietnam. And he said when he hit the afterburner on his jet, there is no feeling like that in the world. He said when you are catapulted off a flight deck, you are just buried and shot. He says, I can't describe it to you. You just have to be a part of it. What's the greatest feeling you've ever experienced? I want to tell you something. This is going to blow them all away. In an instant, in the twinkling of an eye, you're going to be yanked into the presence of Jesus forever. And not just yanked, but changed. "Oh, Jesus, don't yank me too hard. I have a bad back." No, you don't. "Oh, Jesus, don't yank me too hard. I'm old and feeble." No, you're not. In the blinking of an eye, you are resurrected into a brand new body. Changed in an instant. This is going to be awesome. And this is what's next. This is what's next. The rapture. This is what I see is what's coming next on the prophetic calendar. It's the next piece in the puzzle. And if there was ever a generation that this could happen to, it's ours. Look around, my brother. Look around, my sister. God is preparing the world for the coming of His Son. And the rapture generation, I believe, is going to be famous in heaven for all eternity. After we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as a morning star, people are going to be, they're going to go, "You're part of that generation? How blessed were you? I had to die of cancer. I had to die. I was killed in a war. I had a heart attack." And not me, man. I was at Walmart, and all of a sudden, I was yanked. You're a part of the rapture generation. I believe in heaven, that's going to be a special group. Wow, there they are. You lucky dog. You lucky dog. You didn't have to die. You were just caught up in God's divine sovereign will. There you were. Where do I sign up, right? If there was, look at the news, people. Jesus is coming back, and he describes what the earth is going to look like. And just look around. It's totally happening. I realize you might be having a bad day. Maybe you're not happy about living in a pandemic. I'm not happy about living in a pandemic. But can I just get you a little perspective here today? I'm telling you that God's at work. The scriptures are being fulfilled. And there's something coming on the prophetic calendar, and it could happen very soon. Listen to the sermons the last few weeks. What do you think? Are you ready? Are you ready? Does this encourage you? Does this encourage you? Because when the Apostle Paul spoke this, he said, be encouraged with these things. Be encouraged. Encourage one another. This is my mom's Bible. This is my mom's Bible. My mom died of cancer when I was 9 years old. I visited her grave. I think about her, and as a little boy, I have memories of my mom's suffering. When I read this teaching, I smile. See, my mom today, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Her spirit is with Christ right now. And she's totally happy. No more tears, no more sorrow, no more. She's fine. She's not in a physical body. Her spirit is with the Lord. But one day, God, when he comes to earth, he's going to resurrect all people. And I think it's so cool. If it happens this afternoon, Mom beats me. She gets her body before I get mine changed. I read this from 2 Thessalonians chapter 4. When I think of this, I smile. This encourages me. I want you to take this last note. The teaching of the rapture is intended to bring perspective, hope, and encouragement to the followers of Jesus. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death. Imagine my mom. She sleeps in death. Notice it doesn't say, I like the word sleep. You sleep, you wake up again. For those that are Christians that die, the Bible never says, they always say they're sleeping. I love that. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who've fallen asleep in him. When he returns, they're coming with him, according to the word of the Lord. Paul's referring to Jesus' teaching in Matthew 24. One will be taken, one will be left, one will be taken, one will be left, according to the word of the Lord. We tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. He gives a sequence. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Mom gets to go before me. And after that, we who are still alive and left will be yanked, ripped, violently seized in a millisecond, raptured together with them into the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. That's going to be a great day. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Do you need some encouragement this morning in the midst of a pandemic? Remember, the teaching of the rapture is intended to bring perspective, hope, and encouragement to the followers of Jesus. Are you given perspective today? Can you please look past the news and look toward the one who creates all things? God is at work. See, this encourages me. Are you ready? I am. Bring it. Yeah, these days are tough. They're difficult. Hey, I want to tell you, Christian, the days of hope are closer than you think. Look at what the Bible said was going to happen when Jesus came the first time. Born in Bethlehem, raised in Nazareth, Isaiah 9. The ministry of Messiah will begin on the Sea of Galilee. Where did Jesus begin his ministry? Isaiah 53. The Messiah will go to Jerusalem and die. And it even says how he'll die. Scourging, pierced through. His grave assigned with wicked men, yet in a rich man's tomb. And the righteous one, my servant, will take away the sins of the world. And Jesus does it all. And yet you can't keep him down. He will be resurrected. It happened. The days we're living in, Israel will be reestablished. Happened in 1948. The world's not going to be getting better. It's not evolving to higher states of human morality. It's degenerating. Jesus says the world's going to get really bad before he comes. What do you think? It says the gospel will be preached in all the world. The gospel has been preached throughout the whole world. Missionary agency says within the next 10 to 15 years, every language on earth will have their own Bible in their own language. Not just hearing the gospel, but the scriptures given to every language. God bless Wycliffe Bible translators. The Bible says right before Jesus returns that the earth is going to be destroyed and God's going to be judging the earth. When he wrote this in 2,000 years ago, how was mankind destroying the earth? Burning trash? Now look what we were doing to the earth. The ozone layers. The wetlands. Nuclear exchanges. Nuclear exchange is going to happen during the tribulation. You know what nuclear explosions do to planet Earth that God made? He's coming to judge. Jesus says in the last days, mankind will grow in information and technologies. They'll travel to and fro at great... It's all happening. It happened. It is happening. What's going to happen, Pastor Frank? I believe it's the next one is the rapture of the church. His coming is coming to be with the Lord. When the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica, he said, you need to encourage one another with these words. Get some perspective. And let me close by reading this. Now, brothers and sisters, about the times and the dates, we don't need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord, that's judgment, that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. It's coming. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman. They're not going to escape. The judgment of God's coming. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief, the rapture. You're all children of light. You're children of the day. You see. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then let us not be like others who are asleep, spiritually asleep. But let us be awake. Are you awake this morning spiritually? Are you sober spiritually, physically? For those who sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober. Put on faith. Have you put on faith this morning? Put on love. Christ's command for you and I today. Love one another. Have you put on love this morning as a breastplate? How about the hope of salvation? Have you pondered your eternal state? For God did not appoint us to suffer. Did you hear that? We're not going to be here at the day of the great tribulation. God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us, so that whether we're awake or asleep, He died for us. Whether we're alive when Christ returns or we were dead and we're awake or asleep, He died for us. All of us, the church, age. Therefore, He died for us, whether we're awake or asleep, may we live together with Him. There it is. And Paul says it a second time to the church in Thessalonica. I say it a second time to you this morning. Encourage one another. Are you encouraged today hearing this? Build each other up. I want you to encourage somebody this week. I want you to call up a brother or sister in Christ and encourage them this week. Build them up, just in fact you're doing. Why? Because He's coming. Because all this is happening, what should we do? Be sober, be alert, be awake, because it's all happening. It has happened, it's happening today, and it's going to happen, just as the Scripture says. Are you ready? You should be. If you're watching this today and you're afraid of the wrath of God, you've not accepted Jesus, you should be. Because God's going to judge you according to your deeds. Liar, murderer, thief. You dishonor your mother and father. You covet your neighbor's wife or husband, what people own. You steal, you lie. I'm not that bad of a person. I'm a good person. Maybe compared to someone else you might be, but compared to God, you fall short. And you need Jesus. He didn't come down to earth to die for you because He was bored. He came down and died for you because you need a Savior. And you need Him big time. And you need to come to Christ and deal with this. You need Him. He who knew no sin became sin on your behalf that you might become the righteousness of God. You are clothed in Christ. When you accept what Jesus did for you on the cross, Jesus died for you so you won't have to. The wrath of God is coming on earth. God hates liars. God hates those that steal. God hates those that dishonor their mother and father. The behaviors are despicable to Him, and He can't be around it. He has to change you. If you want to go to heaven when you die, if you want to be with God, then you need Jesus. You need to accept it today. Because He could come back soon. And you think things are bad now? Wait till you see what's going to happen in the next season of life. Jesus calls it the Great Tribulation. This world's really going to experience some bad stuff as God begins judging the world as He did Egypt in the days of Moses. I beg of you to accept Christ. I beg of you to. Please don't leave earth without Jesus. Father, I pray for anyone watching here today that does yet not know Jesus Christ. I ask God that You would convict their soul concerning sin, that they're sinners. They're not righteous. God, I pray that You would convict them concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. I pray, Lord God, that they would fall on their knees and accept Christ, that they would bow their knee before the living God, and they would accept Your path for eternity. Jesus, touch these people's hearts, I ask. Remove them of their arrogance and their pride, their stubbornness. God, break them, I ask. As You broke me, I pray that new life would come into them. I pray that You would make them thirsty, Jesus, for righteousness and justice. God, help them to be afraid. For they should be. For it's an awesome thing to feel the wrath of Almighty God. May they enter your presence with grace and mercy and love through Christ. And Lord, for those of us that are here today, that our brothers and sisters, I pray that you would encourage my brother this morning. He's worried about his job, God. I pray for my sister this morning. She doesn't even want to go outside. She's afraid of getting something. God, we look at our dreams of the future. They're being shattered because of this pandemic. And our hope fades. We fight against it. This morning we look for perspective. What are you doing, Lord? We ask, God, that you would help us to find perspective today and realize that a day comes when we're going to be in your presence and nothing else will matter. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We look forward to the day when we go home. When we go home. Let's sing this great song. We're going home.